Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. Of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. You'll see the studio has blossomed with lots of guests today. We've got with us Jeff Wilson from the Mississippi Extension Office, as well as Dr. Dell Prince. We've got Master Gardener John Melinchek joining us back today. And today we're talking about floral design program, which I know is Dr. Dell Prince's baby. But John, you're the reason that everyone is here. So welcome, everybody. Welcome back, John. And welcome back, Jeff. Okay, John, you were very enthusiastic when you texted me about getting Dr. Dell Prince in here to share what he is doing through the Extension Service. So set it up. How did you get in with what Dr. Dell Prince is doing?
A Madison County Master Gardener who would bring cut flowers from Sacred Heart Church in Canton, and she would bring them to the St. Catherine's Memory Care. Of course, they've been on the altar then for like 7 to 10 days, and when we got them, you know, they were barely alive type of thing. And she asked if I would help to do some floral designs that we could leave there at the Memory Care Unit. And I said, okay. So I did one, then I did another one, then a third one. And I got hooked on it a little bit. And I noticed that Dr. Dell Prince on Facebook that is offering this program. And I took this program, and it was about 50 hours, phase one, 50 hours of videos, instructional videos. Phase two, 4 days, I was telling Dr. Dell Prince, of intense hands-on, where you do the designs themselves, and then phase three is 40 hours of volunteer service, which I already have now. But and I told the lady that Master Gardener, I said, all those presentations we made for the master, I mean for St. Catherine's Village, were wrong.
I'm so sorry. Let me go back and do them again.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
But that's how I got involved in it, and I wanted to feel very strongly, like I do for the Master Gardener program with Dr. Wilson's. Master Gardeners, I feel very strongly about Dr. Dell Prince. I just wanted to get on the air to let Dr. Dell Prince talk about his program.
Well, and I think, Dr. Dell Prince, there's a lot of folks out there who we've already sort of keep having the conversation of encouraging Mississippians to start growing cut flowers, and that is a huge opportunity for more Mississippians to sort of get into either a hobby or look at it in terms of flower farming. But then there's the other piece to it. Maybe you like fresh cut flowers. You don't grow them, but you like arranging them or like having them in your house. And it's an art, would you say that? And a science.
It's an art, it's a science, it's design, you know, fitting things for a particular need and purpose. There's so much to it. You know, on our main campus of Mississippi State, we were talking about this earlier, you have a plant and soil sciences department, and there's a major called horticulture. And within horticulture, there are different concentrations. So in some ways, you know, they're aligned, but then they are like a completely different area of study. And it's enough, I think, to fascinate people for their entire lives, not only for their career, but folks like John who are taking what they learned and doing wonderful things with it to help people and just help them frame their lives with beautiful flowers.
So the Master Floral Designer Program, in a nutshell, Dr. Dell Prince, I mean, does this help you? It's not the growing of the flowers. It is the arranging and then the longevity of a bouquet or an arrangement, correct?
Right, yeah. We kind of like to take the plant material once the parts of the plant are severed from the parent
Sounds
plant.
So bad. Severed.
Yeah, severed, a science-y, nice science name word. And then we take it, and then we're going to array it. And what we talk about there is taking the chaos of nature and arraying it into geometric form to create things for all different kinds of occasions. So Master Floral Designer is a consumer-level certification. In addition to that, we found after we developed Master Floral Designer that there were folks who are interested in the profiting side of it, you know, business side of it. And so from that, we developed the Professional Florist Program. So those are two separate programs that really take up a lot of my time, a lot of my energy in my work as an extension specialist.
So, Jeff, when we think of extension, I know I could go straight to you and go, you get your dirt checked. I knew that. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, you're in the community doing all the great things, and then you help me grow things. I had no idea that you, I know you help me cook things that I grow, like that's part of the education, but I didn't know that this was also a piece to it. Why is it a perfect fit for the extension?
Well, the Master Floral Design Program and the Master Gardener Program, they're both fantastic fits for the Extension Service. And one of the things about the Extension Service is we're the only agency in the state that we work with people from pre-birth until after they pass. So we work with people of all ages in every aspect of their life. And the Master Gardener Program that I get to be involved with is just fantastic. We have Master Gardeners in like 64 of our 82 counties, and about 50 of those counties have an official Master Gardener group. And they just do amazing things to help their local community spread the good news of horticulture.
So, Dr. Del Prince, do I need to be a Master Gardener to take your Master Floral Designer Program, or can I just be someone who wants to make things pretty? It smells nice.
Yeah, it's more the latter. There is no prerequisite for the Master Floral Designer Program. I do think, though, that Master Gardener training enhances Master Floral Designer and vice versa, because then you could see more deeply into what you're doing, but there are no prerequisites for it.
And so this, you mentioned a phase one and sort of a phase two. Is that for both, like, the consumer and then the professional, or are those two, or the consumer phase one and the professional phase two?
Well, because they're two different programs, they have different curriculum tracks because of the need for both groups. So the Master Floral Designer Program, there are three phases. The first phase is really all about floral design theory. It's also about care and handling, and it's 100% online. It qualifies the learner to get ready to learn in phase two. Phase two is an intensive session with me in Biloxi. We have a floral design studio down there, and you come down, spend 4 days, and that's where you take all that theory and put it into practice. You know, I find a lot of times when I'm explaining about the program and I look to see what's going on out there, so much about floral design education is unstructured, it's a little too freeform, and people leave, I think, a lot of those short-term learning opportunities outside of MSU Extension feeling like, I learned something, but I still have a lot of questions. I still have a lot of skill that I need to build. So MSU Extension believes in structured learning programs that are peer-reviewed, and by the time it gets to the learner, we're really ready for you to learn everything that we can deliver.
John, you mentioned you were a little apprehensive about doing this class. Was it that you didn't maybe feel like you needed it, or you wouldn't learn a lot after being a Master Gardener? What was so shocking once you started into it that grabbed your attention to keep doing it and realized that it was, you know, it was helpful to increase your knowledge?
As I mentioned, I didn't want to do it, actually. I didn't care about flowers until I started gardening with this one lady, and I got hooked on it, and I went to Dr. Del Prince's hands-on, and that's when I saw the beauty of it. I learned the educational part, all these videos. I ate that up because I love the science behind everything. But when I garden with those with disabilities, especially, you know, those memory care or little children and so forth, they can't handle the heat in the summer. So my gardening vegetables was over pretty quickly for them, because they didn't want to go outside. This program offers the opportunity to do gardening, quote, floral design all year round,
and
indoors.
And bring it inside and sort of enjoy it. I don't know anybody, Dr. Del Prince, that doesn't enjoy a beautiful arrangement. Nobody walks in and go, why is that here? Like, no, you know, I mean, it's something that catches the eye. It's something that reminds us to you know, be present and sort of in the moment. And it's also fleeting. But I guess with science and things that you can learn, you can make those bouquets last a little longer, I hope.
I'm just reveling in your words. That was beautifully put.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've just recently started, like, adding, we have a new house and perfect spot for it. So I have enjoyed getting bouquets from our local grocery store that has fresh cut flowers locally. And so they're becoming part of my, not weekly, but like every other week kind of special occasion. So Easter, and then we hosted some church friends over, got one then, probably for Mother's Day. So, I mean, it's not something that's all the time. But now I see why folks do it all the time, because it brings me so much joy when I wake up and I see them and I come home and they're there. So I can see why people would want to sort of take part in learning more about that. If it's something you want to learn more about, we will make sure you get all the details coming up next here on Good Things.
Suffer.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you've downloaded that. You can always find us too on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, or you can watch us on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on to Supertalk TV. Today we're learning about the Master Floral Designer Program there at the Mississippi Extension. It's a great way for you to gain some floral design expertise and experience if that's what you're interested in. Dr. Del Prince is sort of the creator of it. He's here with us along with Jeff and John, who both support it, Master Gardeners. So, Dr. Del Prince, how long has this been a program? How did you get voluntold or, I guess, inspired to do this program for the extension?
When I interviewed for my job, head of the R&E Center in Biloxi, the Research and Extension Center in Biloxi, Tricia Knight, who is an ornamental plant specialist, I tell Tricia all the time that all she has to do is put her hand in a window and she photosynthesizes, because comes from generations of horticulturists and is incredible talent and knowledge. And during that interview process, she asked me if I had ever considered a program called Master Floral Designer, which I had not. It took off from there. We rolled it out in 2017. Just before the pandemic, we put it online, at least that first portion.
What a great timing, though.
Yes, it was, I think, heavenly sent to be able to do that. And it brought more people, I think, to us than fewer.
Which I think it's a good outlet, because you mentioned that there's like the consumer side, the everyday person like me could take it. But then there's also that business side. If you are looking at like upping your game in those areas for maybe it's a little income. Is there income potential with floral arrangements?
Well, you know, it was during the pandemic that I was able to write that professional florist program, because I had some professionals that were enrolling in it. And it's helpful to them because there's a lot of great information there, but they weren't getting the business side of things. And that angle of, you know, teaching, learning. So during the pandemic, when we had to work at home, that's when I sat and wrote that curriculum. And that program is growing in leaps and bounds, too, because in floristry, a lot of people are bench trained. They learn on the job. They'll open up businesses with maybe just a little bit of technical information, but a lot of love for design. And so what we're doing is we're helping people to work the kinks out of their business plan and their business business acumen by making the mistakes in the classroom and in the studio before they do that with a client. So that professional florist program helps to answer those needs. Master floral designer for the love of floral design, professional florist for the love of profitability in a business.
And you would definitely could take both, right? Like, it would probably be good for you if you were looking for the profitability one, just to take the first one, because there's probably is, I mean, the science behind it. And that's one thing that Mississippi Extension is so great about, is bringing the science into like your everyday life in sort of those ways. What are some people like, what are you missing? What would you be surprised that you need to know to have like a good floral arrangement?
Well, there's a lot. You know, of course, the longevity of the plant materials, proper care and handling, whether you're harvesting your own materials or purchasing them at a retailer or from a wholesale to the public location, all the different ways that you can purchase flowers today, and making sure that you handle them properly and use the proper tools, the proper treatments. A lot of that is completely demystified in our program. Second, again, like I say, using the proper tools. So many people will handle their plant materials properly, but then they'll use wire cutters or snips to cut those flowers to the proper length. It's okay, but you can increase the longevity by learning the proper tools and techniques. Then you have all of the design principles to learn, which aren't just about floral design, but they're about every design decision that you could possibly make in your life. Dressing yourself in the morning, putting together the interior design, landscaping your yard, on and on and on. All those design decisions come from design principles. Then the design elements, the ingredients of design, how you mix those elements together under the laws of beauty, which are the design principles, to make informed decisions about every step about what you're doing to make just the right design for the occasion, for the time of year, all of those elements coming together to make good floral design.
I'll never look at a bouquet the same way again.
I hope you don't. Yeah.
Will you, John? Will you ever?
No, I mean, I took pictures of all my designs, mm-hmm. and put them on Facebook, and then I started doing a PowerPoint presentation, and I'm looking at my photos and said, oh my gosh, I put this on Facebook, it is so wrong in this one area, or this doesn't look right, it's out of balance. And all this, Dr. Delperin said the design principles and the elements of design. So I'm very judgmental now to mm-hmm. everything I look at.
When most people just look at them, and again, even a bad bouquet brings people joy, Dr. Del Prince. I think, I mean, you know, unless it's a dying bouquet, that's the only time that, you know, it kind of makes you sort of sad. What do you think it is about floral arrangements that just elevate people's moods?
We come from the wild. It, you know, it's in our brain. It's through millions of years of evolution that we're connected to nature. You know, we have houseplants because that's nature brought indoors. We have cats and frogs and dogs and all the things of bringing nature closer to us. Children love them. Adults love them. And so it's a way of bringing the outdoors indoors. But further than that, it's also part of that human nature to want to create. And some of the things that John and the other master floral designers are doing in terms of volunteering to get flowers into people's hands.
Because that's the third phase, right?
Yes, that's right, that volunteering phase. Something that we, you know, followed with master gardeners and other groups and other certifications that Extension offers to allow people to put into practice what they learn and share it with others is a valuable component.
And I know, John, you're big into that. Who will you be sharing your floral arrangements with next, or what you have learned?
As I mentioned, the Vietnam veterans at VA hospital here in Jackson, those with dementia at St. Catherine's Village, and other facilities that will house those with dementia, little children, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism.
You know, beauty's universal. I mean, I know obviously what we find beautiful, not necessarily, but in terms of nature, like anybody, you put together something that smells good and looks pretty, it brings you joy, right? Anybody can appreciate a well-done bouquet of fresh-cut flowers. I think that's something that it's a language that we all sort of speak when we look at nature that way. Dr. Del Prince, if we want to jump in on this program, is it ongoing? Is it only certain times a year? How do you hop in?
Well, because of the structure of the program, particularly in that phase two where you meet with me, we continue to operate on sort of a system. So the next phase one session is open for registration, and it begins on May 6th.
Okay, coming up.
Students have 14 weeks to complete all those modules, which is plenty of time. It involves maybe, you know, a couple of hours a week. You can fall behind. You can speed ahead. Some students, like John, speed ahead and get it done in a couple of weeks. Some people like to take their time with it. But at the end of that session, it closes because we want you to get ready then to go on to the next
Which is a
phase.
Commitment to come down to the Gulf Coast and spend a terrible weekend on the beach and learning things. I mean, you ask too much of us, Dr. Dilprinz.
People do enjoy. Some people like to stay at the casino. Some people like to stay closer to the shopping. Some people stay with friends and relatives, and they have a good time.
They have a good time. And still thinking about, if you've been wondering about becoming a master gardener, Jeff, that's also part of all of this. That was the gateway drug for John. But maybe it's back way. Maybe you're into floral and then you get into master gardening. Is that an ongoing program? Can we hop into that anytime?
So it's similar to what Dr. Dilprinz described. We do a fall online training each year, so mm-hmm. it is completely online. It's 40 hours of instruction, and the registration will open in early to mid-August. It's open for about 30 days, and then the online course itself will run the months of October and November. And so they have 9 weeks to do the 40 hours of course. We've had people finish it in the first week, and I've had people finish it at the midnight hour on the last night. So that is how that program works.
And we are in the spring season where everybody is trying to grow their vegetables and their plants and all the things. If they've got dire questions, mm-hmm. do y'all have like a 1-800 help me button or is there still resources through the extension in the Master Gardeners program during this time? Or reach out to a Master Gardener.
Yeah, absolutely. And the easiest thing to do is just call your county MSU Extension office and start with the agent there. And in some counties, there are Master Gardeners that assist the agent. So either a Master Gardener or an agent one will be able to answer those questions. And if they can answer the question, they'll reach out to one of the specialists for us to try and help, you know, get the correct answer. And I do want to mention one of the other things that is happening this time of year. Our Master Gardener groups are having a lot of plant sales around the state. I know in Brandon, there's one this weekend, Tupelo, Iuka. There's quite a few that are going on for the next 3 or 4 Saturdays. So you could call your local MSU Extension office and see when they're having their Master Gardener plant sale. And that's a great way to get plants at a very reasonable price.
All righty. Well, I appreciate all your time. Thank you for your time, Dr. Dilprinz. John, as always, thank you for bringing us the great conversations around what's going on with Master Gardeners in our state. So we appreciate you all. But stick with us. We've got good events that's happening on your main streets coming up next.
Upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm. Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Something big's happening downtown.
Good things are going on. Yeah,
so many good things happening on main streets and downtowns across the Magnolia State. So today we are highlighting what's happening downtown this weekend. It is brought to you by the Mississippi Main Street Association. Don't forget, you can always go to msmainstreet.com/calendar to get more information on upcoming events. We've got a great one coming up in Tunica this weekend. It's the 31st annual Rivergate Festival. Laura Withers joins us to tell us a little bit more. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
I am doing well. So for something to happen for 3 decades, I think folks enjoy it and they keep coming back, huh?
Yes, and we are so grateful. We're so excited. It's been a great festival for many years, and I think the 31st annual is going to be the biggest and the best, hopefully.
So tell us about the Rivergate Festival there in Tunica. If we haven't ever heard of it, what are we missing out on?
Okay, so the Rivergate Festival starts tomorrow night, Thursday, April the 18th. Crawfish Alley will open up. The Crawfish Alley has become our absolute most popular thing at the festival. There's a huge crew of volunteers that come down every year. Last year, they served and sold over 17,000 pounds of crawfish.
Wow.
And, yes, a record-setting year. So we'll start the festival with them tomorrow night. We've also got a couple bands playing. Let's see. We start at 5 p.m. on the amphitheater stage right in the heart of downtown Tunica, and we'll have live music until 10 p.m. And then Friday, all of our food trucks, retail vendors, crawfish again, kids' bounce houses, you name it, all of that will load in Friday beginning at 4 p.m. We'll open the gate. And then Saturday, I've got 18 teams registered in a barbecue cook-off contest. So we've got all the things I mentioned before, plus a barbecue cook-off on Saturday, live music on two stages, 12 food trucks, crawfish. I mean, it's a little bit of everything, something for everybody.
Is this one of those things, Laura, where you should just pack your bags and come and at least stay maybe, you know, Friday yeah. night, stay a night or two, or people will come in Tunica and obviously maybe stay all weekend and make kind of like a full, like when you say festival, this is like a real festival.
This is like, I'm talking about something for everybody. It is a true Mississippi Delta small town festival. It's a lot of fun, but it's not too big. We're a very safe community. We all come together for this event. So definitely, if you're from out of town, come, stay in the casino, win a couple dollars, and then come down and spend it on some crawfish and make a weekend of it.
You'd almost have to hit the jackpot to spend on crawfish. You set me up for that.
That's right. We're really excited.
You said 17,000 pounds of crawfish. I guarantee you, Laura, everybody listening to Good Things just thought went dollar signs, you know. But what I'm hearing, one of the best economical ways for you to enjoy your crawfish this season is to go into these festivals and to sort of support what they're doing in terms of bringing these events to communities, because you guys are buying at 17,000 pounds versus, you know, your local just 4 or 5. And so you can enjoy your mud bugs and some good music
right.
for a decent
yeah.
price.
Exactly. So entry into our festival is completely free. The music's completely free. The hanging out with all your friends, completely free. Once you get into the festival, like I said, 12 other food trucks available to purchase food from them. And then at the Crawfish Alley, they've got big plates about, it's approximately 4 pounds of crawfish, sausage, corn, potatoes for $20.
That's not bad.
So it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so, yeah, they do a great job over there. It's obviously to sell that much crawfish in one weekend, you know it's going to be some of the best crawfish you've ever had.
So in terms of music, Laura, kind of give us an idea of what will take the stage.
Okay, I'm going to try to remember off the top of my head all the bands we've got. We've got 10 bands coming. So we've got Bonfire Orchestra, Memphis Jones, Black Dog Band, Bree Wooten, Delta Heart, Party Planet. I mean, tons of bands. This year, I tried to focus a little bit more on local blues artists that are right here in North Mississippi, but we've also got a lot of classic rock and just fun party music.
Well, I'm impressed that you knew all those right off the top of your head, Laura. So I know lots goes into these plannings. I don't think people realize they're Main Street associations, everybody coming together to make this kind of happen, what all it sort
For
of takes.
Sure.
So you said there's no ticket necessarily needed. It's all free. But how do we plan our trip? If we wanted to come sort of see the schedule, the rundown for the 31st Annual Rivergate Festival in Tunica, where do we go for that, Laura?
Okay, so you can go to www.tunicamainstreet.com. All the festival information is there. You can also check out our CVB website, which is tunicatravel.com, for all your great hotel rates and hotel specials over the weekend.
Good deal. Well, wishing you all the best weather and delicious crawfish, Laura.
Yes. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I appreciate it.
All right. And if Tunica's not in your direction, or maybe you already had your crawfish and your mud bugs and you like antiques and you want to go south Mississippi to Gulfport, they're putting on, Gulfport Main Street is putting on their arts and antiques in the alley. We got Kristen to tell us a little bit more. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
I love that. Whoever named this, how creative. Arts Antiques in the Alley. So where's the alley? What's the alley?
So the alley is our Fishbone Alley. It is right off 26th and 14th in downtown Gulfport. And it's actually won a couple of Main Street Awards when we first created the alley back in 2017. We used to actually have music festivals in there, monthly, or not festivals, but really music events,
monthly, but COVID kind of took it down, took those kind of, they spiraled down a little bit. So we're trying to bring something back into the alley. Gulfport is huge. They have a huge art association, and we have an arts council that is just right around the corner from the alley. So we really wanted to showcase a lot of our local artists. And we thought, what a better way than to integrate our Main Street, our Arts Council, and our Gulfport Historical Society all together. So we came up with antique and art and antique in the alley. And it's our first year. We have lots of local vendors. We actually have a couple from Louisiana as well. Lots of artists. We have some antique vendor malls that have pulled different pieces together that they'll be there. We are expecting one antique appraiser as well. We have lots of food trucks and some local schools that are coming out to do some local bake sales, things like that. And we actually are going to have an artist do live painting while they're there as well.
So with the appraiser, Kristen, would that be for if you bought a piece and wanted it appraised, or could you bring a piece and get it appraised?
Kind of both, honestly. If you wanted to bring something down and have that appraiser look at it, I'm sure he's fine to do that.
That's pretty cool. And that's anything from, I guess, knickknacks to, for the sake of a better word, to like full-blown furniture in terms of antiques?
Yes. Okay. Yes, as far as antiques. We actually have one. I'm so excited to see the tent set up because they will basically have a full-on living room set up, chandelier and all included. So I'm really excited to see their tent and their booth. And they are actually coming from the Jackson area.
That's really cool because, I mean, people, I mean, antique shopping is a whole thing. Like, I mean, people really enjoy going and looking and doing. And so this is a unique way, it feels like, Kristen, to sort of get the best of both worlds. You get to kind of venture off outside in sort of like a, you know, an outdoorsy kind of way, but then also get to see some cool things.
Yes, we're really excited. Like I said, it's our first year, so we're really pushing to make this an annual event. We've had a great response to the antique side, so we're really excited to see where it's going to take us. And we really don't have any festivals like this on the coast. You know, Antique Roadshow comes in every now and then. But we do have a huge following for antiques on the Gulf Coast, so we're really excited to bring this down.
And then with it being on Fishbone Alley, as you mentioned, Kristen, that's right in the heart of your Main Street, so people have plenty of opportunity to shop for other things, get lunch or brunch or all.
We actually we have a smorgasbord of wonderful restaurants in our downtown area. We definitely have some open for brunch, of course, lunch options. Like I said, we're going to have a couple of food trucks as well. But we really want people to take the opportunity to not only visit the vendors and the artists in Fishbone Alley and around that area, but visit the Arts Council and see the local galleries that are up this month. Stop in the Historical Society and see all the neat different galleries that they have available right now. And then stop in and shop at a lot of our local boutiques that are members of our Main Street Association. We will have gift cards. We'll be doing giveaways at the top of every hour. We have a couple of local artist pieces that we'll be drawing for. So stop by the Main Street tent and drop your name to be added to our newsletter. And you'll enter in to win. Like I said, we have a couple pieces of art. We have some gift cards to Half Shell, Patio 44, and a couple of other restaurants in our downtown area.
And Kristen, is there a good place to go to stay? You mentioned get on your newsletter, but if we want to come, like your Facebook page or any of that for the Gulfport Main Street Association, if we want to see what's happening in Gulfport on the regular?
Yes, follow us on Facebook, Gulfport Main Street Association on our Facebook page. We also have an Instagram as well, Gulfport Main Street Association. We post all of our events on there. And like I said, we're getting that newsletter started out the beginning of next month. So we'd love to add your emails to that so we can keep you updated with a monthly newsletter.
Well, I appreciate your time, Kristen, and best of luck on y'all's event this weekend.
Thanks, Rebecca.
All righty. And don't forget, you can always go to msmainstreet.com/calendar to get more information on upcoming events in your area. But stick with us. We got more good things for you coming up next.
Baby, if you want me, then all of this will go away.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from the Supertalk Mississippi app. If you were watching on the Supertalk TV on your computer or mobile device, you saw me dancing as soon as the music came in. This has to be one of those, what is it, whatever in the 90s that we all
Jock Jams.
Jock Jams. It had to be on Jock Jams. So if you just started busting a move in your car, I know like what your era of music was, and that would have been sometime in the 90s. But the gala show was at the Jackson. Never mind, that was today. It's Thursday. Or is it Wednesday?
No, that's Wednesday. Tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, y'all. Okay, it's Wednesday. I was like, no, that was today. Okay, so it's coming up tomorrow. Someone's like, no, I've missed it. The gala show will be at the Jackson Convention Center tomorrow for the Mississippi Economic Council's 75th annual meeting. If there's still time to register, go to mec.ms. That's mec.ms. Just wishing the week away here, Rhino. Just thinking that it was already Thursday, one day
you got
closer.
Got that remote from that Adam Sandler movie.
I know, just trying
to. Sad ending.
Did it have a sad ending?
I thought it was sad.
Which movie? What's the name of the movie?
Was it Click? Was that the name of the movie?
Oh,
where you met Christopher Walken in the Bed Bath & Beyond and got the remote to fast forward through his life and then realized he missed everything?
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That is very sad.
It started off as a funny movie, and it's like, wait, this got sad in a hurry.
You know, another movie that hit me like a ton of bricks, but I should have seen it coming, that I watched over the weekend. I was going to try and wait. Well, you know, if I think it's Thursday, it might as well be Friday. Here on Good. But I saw someone just post about it, that, and it's on Netflix. It's Megan Levy. It's talking about like a troubled teen who then enlisted in the Marines, who still was having kind of a troubled life. She's found herself in sort of the dog unit. Right there. Anytime there's a dog in a movie and you have any kind of heart, you should know to get out your... But I don't know why I thought this one would be any sort
different.
And about halfway through the movie, you just start crying uncontrollably all the way to the end in that one. But it's a very heartfelt movie. I would highly encourage anyone who kind of likes that kind of thing to watch it. I would recommend it, but I would set the stage of... But had I known that, I wouldn't have watched it.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm not going to set myself up for just to cry for no good reason if I don't feel like I need one. I'm going to stay away from usually those type of movies, to which my husband was like, you knew there's a dog on the cover. Like you're going the advertisement. You didn't know we're going to get here. I was like, I don't know. He was a Marine. Thought maybe he bit people. No, that's not how it worked out. It was actually.
Well, speaking of watching stuff and you watching stuff, and you recommended I watch this, but there's actually a national day related to something we've both watched recently.
What is that?
It's National Haiku Day.
What does that mean?
That is the Japanese form of poetry that they have the little competitions with in the Shogun.
Yeah. Okay. Good deal. Rhino, I finally watched something I recommended. It's taken 7 years here on Good Things for me to come up with something that he would enjoy. That's probably halfway true and not true. That's not true. Did you see Dune? Did you go see Dune? Have you seen it?
No.
But you would.
Yeah, I would.
But you would. Okay. That was late. It's a little bit more effort. You have to actually go to the theater to see it versus. But yeah, it's streaming on Hulu. I am terrible at describing things. So how would you describe Shogun to someone? If they wanted to watch it or not.
It depends on what generation you're from. If you're from our generation, you probably weren't around for the original miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain. But it is a modern retelling of that story, which that miniseries back in 1980 was based on a book by, I can't remember, Jim Clavell? I think it's Clavell. But it was it's a book about an Englishman, a navigator, a ship's pilot, that finds himself in the 1600s, drifted ashore on the island of Japan. And at that period of history, there were very few outsiders in the land of the rising sun. You had some Portuguese that had kind of made their way in a couple decades earlier. But the Portuguese had convinced the Japanese that they were the only other country out there. And since the Japanese didn't get out very much, they believed him. But all of a sudden, here's this English guy showing up, and it's like, wait, you look kind of like these other people we just met, but you don't speak the same language, and you don't have the same beliefs. So they were obviously lying to us.
Yes.
And it's all the intrigue of that.
And there's a love story, and there's like...
Well, of course.
Of course there is.
And samurai swords.
And a man gets boiled alive and added on my top five ways I would never want to die. Like, just absolutely not. Like, cut off my head, whatever you need to do. Please do not boil me, like, while I'm still breathing. That would be, like, maybe the top way. Maybe right up there at the tippy top. But it's interesting. Does it have to have subtitles? Because just like you're going to cry, that may
well,
be
a deterrent. Well, that's the weird part is the original, I went back and watched a little bit of it, the original has entire scenes where they're speaking Japanese with no subtitles.
But you still know what's going on. It's
yeah, you're just following the context clues, yeah. Like the Englishman stuck in another world without the language.
Yeah, yeah. Don't end up in a boiling water, that's all I'm going to say. Just keep your mouth shut. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. It's Thursday tomorrow, guys. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Yeah, good things for you.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.